You are with us for a color-only hour here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're recalling some of the recent conversations, but most of all, gathering your ideas for future programs. We want to hear about what shows you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What's on your mind? What do you want to learn more about? What are your burning questions? What do you think should be getting more attention at this stage in the pandemic? Join in on this caller-only hour. Your ideas front and center, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email show ideas to ideas@wpr.org. So let's give a shout-out now to some people who have donated their suggestions to past caller-onlys. We heard from Melinda, who called in from the Village of Taylor. Melinda had shared a difficult situation involving shared custody of a child and asked for help. We set up a conversation with Jan Blackstone, an author and retired child custody mediator, and Jan shared tips for parents, including this.
I always tell parents to come to the table with one problem and a solution for the problem, so that when you're negotiating with something, you have an idea of how to problem solve. Just don't lay it on the table and say, you always do this. Mm-hmm. You have to have an idea of how you want to problem solve, and that gives the other parent a place to start the negotiation.
All right, so that's Jan Blackstone. We are also learning from Facebook, two audience members of the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can post there. Dave wants to hear from a Palestinian citizen on conflicts between Israel and Palestine. So certainly Dave wants to hear more of an international perspective. James suggested a show on why fewer Americans are attending church. So those are two insights there from the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dwayne from Beloit responded to our last caller only hour, suggested programs on land surveying and efforts to replace dams with whitewater parks in Iowa. We did both. Here's part of our conversation about dam replacements, looking at the benefits for fish.
We require in these projects that the there's like a lower slope area next to the whitewater drop. So the whitewater drop is steeper and creates a wave, and it's actually not that great for fish passage. It's better than the dam, but you know, not that great. So we'll have a lower slope area with kind of more rocks protruding out and stuff where fish can burst up. And we've done a number of studies on that too to verify that the fish passage is actually happening at these facilities. We also make it so that those the fish passage part is favored when the water gets really low, like when you get into a drought condition kind of thing. Mm. So we're pretty careful to make sure that that is incorporated. We're very serious about that because it has a huge effect on the river upstream, both for fish, but also, you know, mussels, you know, like little clams. Their young actually hitch a ride on fish's gills in order to recolonize stretches of river. And they're really important for water quality as well. And I think we're all for that.
And I should have mentioned this before, that who was talking was Nate Hogeven from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And now to learn about land surveying, we talked with Ed Harvey, president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Here's part of our conversation about measuring waterways.
Water boundaries are a whole different set of problems because as the water rises and falls, with streams, you actually own to the center of the stream. And what I'm saying now is some general things, not rules to live by. So you own to the center of the stream, subject to an easement for the flooded area. So as the water goes up and down the public highway, which is the stream, and it comes further into your property. On lakes, the state of Wisconsin holds the lake bed in trust, and as the water goes up and down again, it moves. Now, if it goes up and down overnight, you know, there's a radical change by some event caused by God, the property line may move. If it may not move, so you'll continue to own to whatever the old property line was. But if the line slowly changes, you know, by accretion or erosion, you may wind up losing.
All right. Thanks again, Duane, for your programming suggestions there. This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only, 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. Maybe you have questions you want to explore, stories or experiences you wish to share with fellow Wisconsinites. You know, here we are over a year into the pandemic. Let's take stock. What should the morning show cover this summer? What topics and issues matter the most to you? Do you appreciate more advice-type segments, researchers or experts, lawmakers? What information is most useful to your life? Share your show ideas. We will run them down. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. John from Lake Halley called, couldn't stay with us. John would like a fact-checking show to show the statements made by political figures from both parties or across the spectrum. This includes local, state, and national politics. So kind of like a PolitiFact show, if you will. John, thank you so much for that suggestion. Michael from Bear Valley asked for more conversations about space discovery and science during our last caller only. Hopefully, Michael, you caught our recent program with Racine native Christopher Mason. He is a computational biologist. He wrote the book called The Next 500 Years.
A lot of times people propose missions to Mars or other planets or even out to space as just the next step for exploration, that humans always climb mountains and cross oceans and just explore for the sake of exploration. But I actually propose it in my new book as a moral duty, as something that we are the only species that have an awareness of extinction at all. And so this means that we have a unique understanding and a unique responsibility, not just for staying alive ourselves, which of course is nice, but also to serve as the shepherds and guardians for life as we know it. And eventually, just by looking ahead, that means we'll have to eventually go and do this on other planets. And so I think I just summarized what is the state of the art in the field of genetics and cell engineering and genome engineering, and then also what we can see for planets ahead of us. And so I think this is really kind of the duty for our species.
Ah, that is Christopher Mason, a geneticist and computational biologist, wrote a 500-year plan for inhabiting new planets. Evan from Green Bay sent us an email. Evan is saying they would like to learn about and hear from pagan organizations in the state. Evan, thank you for that suggestion, and you can make yours at 800-642-1234. You can email, like Evan did, ideas@WPR.org. Suzanne is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Suzanne.
Good morning. I was listening to the radio, BBC, towards 5 o'clock in the morning one day, and I was just really charmed and awakened and thrilled to hear a show about the national anthem. And the part I recall where it ended, which thrilled me so much, was the story about Jose Feliciano singing that tune. The whole thing seemed to be about song renditions or people singing the song, the national anthem, at least the part that I heard of that. And I tried to find that archived online and couldn't do it. And I just think with the 4th of July coming up, what a wonderful topic to hear.
Yeah, exploring the national anthem. So, Suzanne, thank you for that suggestion as we open up the lines here to find out where you want to take the morning show next. And you can talk about the programming you hear, what you want to hear in the future, 800-642-1234. We will be back with more of your suggestions in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We are inviting your ideas for future segments here on The Morning Show, and we discuss all sorts of news here. And this is a snapshot of just this week so far. We've talked about redistricting, minimum wage, cooking, wildlife, streaming music services, paper mills, travel and COVID, and, of course, the anniversary of George Floyd's killing by former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin. What topics are your highest priority for your mornings? Do you listen for discussions on politics, on religion, health, education, advice, something else? Join in this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. We have another listener here who shared over email that October 15th is White Cane Day, and they would like a show about the history of white canes and to raise awareness of blindness. So thank you for that email. Nancy is joining us from Grafton. Hi, Nancy. What is your idea?
Okay, on June 13th, which is a Sunday, I found out that there is going to be breakfast on the farm, and it's an organic farm. It's in Marathon County in the town of Cleveland. And you know what? I grew up on that farm. That's the farm I was raised. And so, by golly, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to see if they still have those Holstein cows and farm all tractors.
Oh, Nancy, thank you so much for that. And I know we really love to do some of the farm-to-table type programs as well. So, Nancy, thanks for that suggestion. Emily is with us from West Bend. Hi, Emily. What's on your mind?
I do Lego shows with my husband, and I'm very excited to be out there, in the population doing this year. We've been missing it. One thing I would love to see, or hear, as it were, would be more about what the different happenings are in Wisconsin, different destinations that people could travel to. I feel like we used to have more about that. And it could just be because of COVID, but it would be nice to hear what everybody is doing again, what's opening up, and where people are going.
Emily, you do Lego shows?
I do. I'm a master builder.
What? That is so cool, coming from my Lego-infested home.
Yep. Our first show is going to be at Bay Beach the weekend of July 10th. And then it's still tentative yet, but we're looking at a show, Brick World Milwaukee, that should be hopefully down at State Fair Park in this fall.
What is the coolest thing you've ever built, or the hardest thing?
Well, the hardest thing is that would be what my husband has built. That would be, he's into the Harry Potter Lego, so he's done a moving flying Quidditch pitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. It's all Lego.
Oh, that is so amazing. I think we need a Lego show, a Lego segment.
Sure, I would love to hear that.
Oh, Emily, thank you so much for that suggestion. And let's now go to Bob now in Richland. Hi, Bob.
Yes. How are you today?
Doing well. What would you like to hear on the morning show?
Well, I'd like to see things like how things happen or how things work or get done in Wisconsin or the nation. And one of the thoughts I had was, how does a 911 call? What happens in that process to get that call through, and how is it funded? And I think it's some of the things that people just take for granted. It'd be good to know the details behind it and understand how the processes work.
Kind of like the nuts and bolts of public services that we might just take for granted.
Yeah, exactly. I think people would be interested to know the background, how some of those things are funded, how what happens when you call, and how does it get there, and just some of that knowledge that, because right now Uber can find you faster than 911, and I know Wisconsin's improving that, but I think it's important to people understand some of those things.
All right, Bob, thank you for that suggestion. As we have this caller-only hour, we're covering different ideas that you have for the show, gathering all your show ideas at 800-642-1234. Daniel is with us from Cottage Grove. Daniel, go ahead.
Thank you for the time. I would like to hear on the morning show about Africans who live in Wisconsin and their contributions to the Wisconsin economy and culture. I've been listening for a while, but I never hear any program about Africans who live in Wisconsin. So it would be exciting to hear something like that in the morning.
Yeah. Daniel, can you share some stories that we might not know about or a perspective that we might not hear about Africans in Wisconsin? What do you know?
You know, there are different people from different countries who come to live in Wisconsin. Their food, their culture, music and stuff, their education and how they contribute that to Wisconsin life. That's something that will be interesting in the morning.
Yeah. Is there a particular organization that you think we would reach out to or find some connections with?
Yes, there are quite a few in Wisconsin. Mm.
Yeah.
Like the Ghana Madison Association.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Madison. It's people from Ghana. And they have an association here in Wisconsin, here in Madison, so we can reach out.
Yeah. Daniel, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Have a nice one.
You too. We also heard from Peng from Green Bay, who sent us an email. Peng would appreciate an update on the stocks of GameStop and AMC. Peng is asking, what is the craze and what is happening? We talked, of course, about the surge in GameStop and AMC stocks in early February, but we haven't circled back to that situation. Makaya in Madison called in, couldn't stay on the line. Makaya would like a show regarding relationships, especially families and intimate partner violence and abuse, and the psychological complexities in these situations. You can join in with your show ideas at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you in this caller-only hour. Over email, another listener echoed Emily's interested in conversations about Wisconsin destinations. They also want science stuff, nature stuff, as they say, conversations about the physical world around us. Are you interested in science or a scientific topic, perhaps? You can join in with your ideas at 800-642-1234. During our last caller-only hour, Marcy from Sparta asked for more conversations about Wisconsin's diverse communities, including Native Americans. And we recently aired conversations about murdered and missing Indigenous women and teaching Native American history in schools. And the Ideas Network, we aired this year's 17th annual State of the Tribes address. You can join in with your ideas. David from Green Bay is here. Hi, David.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think there needs to be a little more awareness of there's so much emphasis on college degrees and people working in offices and having, you know, a day job, 8 hours. But I think there needs to be, people are somewhat ignorant to what people that work different hours, different shifts, work trades, the money they make. And, you know, they're kind of looked down on in society, say truck drivers and plumbers and people that go and do those jobs that no one else wants to do. I'm an interstate truck driver, and I've been a truck driver for 40 years, and the stigma on that is just horrible. You know, they think because you don't have a college degree and you work in the trades that you're just kind of, you know, empty-headed. But do people honestly think that, you know, it's because you're in the trades? There's a huge shortage of people to be in the trades and do building and, you know, all type farming. And but that's what makes the country work. A lot of people that are willing to do those jobs all hours, you know, go down and put the sewers in. And but I think that there's in the last 20 years there's just been such a stigma on those jobs.
And you've been a truck driver for 40 years.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. What changes? Yeah, what changes have you seen over those decades?
Oh God, we're so heavily regulated right now with electronic. We had logbooks; we had to log our time years ago, and you could get some leeway with that. But when you drive around, I'm sure you've noticed if you go somewhere at night, trucks park on off ramps and on ramps. We're regulated; we can only work so many hours, and we have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we could move down the road and find a place, and there's no decent places to eat anymore. It's all fast food. Your health goes in the you know, right down the tubes. There used to be restaurants where you could stop and get a really good meal and have the time to stop. Right now I've got none. I'm 65 and I can't wait to get out of it. But you can make good money driving truck. You know, there's a lot of trucking jobs pay between 60 and 100,000 a year, depending on what you want to do. But it's so rough. I mean, you see these people in the sleeper cabs. There's no bathroom in this truck. And a lot of places we go, they won't let you use the restrooms.
So many issues. And the stigma, as David talks about, the trucking industry and looking more into the trades and the people who do them. This is Caller Only Hour. We're spending the hour listening back to conversations and hearing directly from you what you think we should be putting more attention on in these times. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. Hi, it's Kate Archer-Kent. A quick note on our programming. We are set to hear from Dr. Anthony Fauci on the morning show next week. And we want to collect all your questions ahead of time for Dr. Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House. Leave your question for Dr. Fauci. Here's the number, 833-424-3327. That number again, 833-424-3327. 3327 for the Dr. Fauci segment. Be sure to mention your name and city, like, you know, Kate from Madison, so we can thank you for the question. And now we are exploring wherever the conversation takes us. This hour is dedicated to you, what you want to bring to the morning show. Let's go back to the phones now. Barbara is in Merton. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
I am interested in understanding how the single-use recycled bag industry got started, why we can't ban them, and what the impact on the recycling industry has been for it since its inception.
That sounds good, Barbara. Thank you for that suggestion on single-use plastic bags. And I would bet, Barbara, you would also like more conversations about recycling and about waste.
Absolutely. It's I call the county office constantly with regard to how do we recycle our nylon plastic bags from onions? What do I do with my cords from my charger? Where do I go with light bulbs now? Everything is a mystery.
So many things that are touching in our lives, and to know where they go, where do you dispose of them correctly? Barbara, thank you. Mary is in Appleton. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Very intrigued about your show on the psychedelic research. I'm actually reading Timothy Leary right now, and the book.
We can hear your radio in the background there, Mary, but you're interested in more psychedelic research.
Radio in the background there, Mary.
It is playing.
All right, Mary, thank you for that. Steve now in Hazel Green. Hi, Steve, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it would be really good to have a program that would focus on how do we get to carbon pollution free electricity by 2035. So that people understand that this is, you know, not necessarily an easy route to get there. And looking at being fossil fuel free by 2050, what will it take to get us there? I think, you know, from the standpoint of when you build an electric power facility and spend $700 million, it might take 50 years to pay it off. And so if we're going to transition from coal and natural gas to, like, renewable resources or nuclear, what are the steps in? What will it cost? Princeton University did a study that I think will kind of open people's eyes about what steps we need to take. Like, they're saying we need 60% more transmission lines across the country if we're going to go to wind and solar. And I look at what's just happening in Wisconsin with the one transmission line trying to be sited. you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges to implement that in a short period of time. And I think it'd be helpful for people to understand if there will be costs.
Yeah, the roadmap to carbon free. I'm wondering, Steve, are there any particular experts you would really like to hear from?
Well, I think, you know, the people who worked on the Princeton study show, you know, pretty much everything you need to do, from what will it take replacing a 300 megawatt coal plant with solar panels? Mm-hmm. What will it take with, you know, wind? So that, you know, it's not just an even swap, because you have, you know, like coal is really a base where when it's running, it's running. The same with natural gas. You can crank them up and they're constant no matter what the need is. You can crank them up, where wind and solar are intermittent and they only work when the sun is shining or when the wind is blowing. And so do we have batteries that are capable of handling, you know, all those?
Yeah, there's so many steps, so many questions on how to get there carbon free. Steve, thank you for that suggestion and looking up the Princeton study. Daniel in Wausau. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What is on your mind?
You guys should have a program about some of the technology us blind and visually impaired people go through, because I'm one of them. And I don't think a lot of people realize the technology that we have to do what we need to do on our daily basis.
I would imagine the technology has drastically improved, has it not?
Yeah, somewhat. A lot of stuff that is out there, it is really not blind friendly. Like stuff that people would say it works better for them, but with people being visually impaired or blind, it's not accessed with their screen reader.
So, yeah, there's certainly adaptability questions there and what can be read with different screen readers. Daniel, thank you for that suggestion on the technology changes for visually impaired people. Let's go to Chris now in Milwaukee. Chris, hi.
Hi. I've had a couple of ideas for a while. One of them is to take an hour a week and talk about one country. Start with the A's and work your way around. Americans don't know much about other countries. I'm guessing most people don't even know where Albania even is. And also, once a month to spend 2 hours on a war, any war that's going on, and there are plenty, and you spend 1 hour with somebody from one side and 1 hour with somebody from the other side. Of course, if there's three sides, you'll need 3 hours. But I don't think Americans know enough about conflicts, that a lot of times American money and American technology and American bombs are involved in. So those are my two suggestions. Thank you.
Chris, thank you. Taking a global perspective, one country at a time, and really diving deep into wars and conflicts. Rachel now in Burlington. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to touch on the topic of married couples that were unable to have children and the stigma behind it, because I get a lot of assumptions from people that I don't have kids because I didn't want them or because I don't like children. And it was very, very emotional to learn that we couldn't have kids. We didn't, you know, in our 20s and 30s, we didn't have a lot of money. So fertility treatments that we sought just were out of our budget, and there wasn't a guarantee that it would even produce a child. But even though now I'm in my mid-40s and still happily married, there's still a stigma and an assumption that people kind of sort of judge that my husband and I never had kids because we don't like them or don't want them. And it's also a part of my life I really choose to not talk about, but people try to prod me for information as far as why we don't have kids. And it's just, it's something I've dealt with my entire adult life, and it's not something I want to talk about. And also the fact that I've unfortunately lost a few good girlfriends because the inability of me being able to go to their baby showers, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Rachel, thank you for that suggestion, talking about fertility and stigma with childless couples. Katie now in Eau Claire. Katie, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
I am interested in like local co-ops and different ways to find produce and meat and dairy products throughout the state. I know there's a ton of local farms and a ton of really great spaces to grab more local goods. And I was interested in that. And then maybe comparing it to the national level of a company like, I think it's called Misfits.
Mm, yeah.
And then there's other Ugly Produce as well.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, you know, what is the value versus going to a local co-op versus going through a company like that.
How long have you been going to co-ops?
I have, I would say probably for the past 5 or 6 years. And we do a lot of gardening ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we also do, we're at the farmer's market every Saturday buying local produce, at least when it's available. So I'd like to learn a little more about, you know, where's the value and how do people get connected with those sources?
I'm wondering, Katie, the more you buy local, the more, you know, the more you look to your produce and your pantry and really from a local perspective, does that make you more involved and more wanting to keep going down that path?
Absolutely. And I think it makes me make better food choices as well. And it's helped me to cook differently too. And we're a compost family. So we have a company up in Eau Claire that picks up our compost, our food waste, and composts it as our garbage company. And so that has made us make better choices too. So we've turned away from overly produced food, and now we cook more from scratch, and it's been a really great experience.
I found that with composting, once you start doing it, it's like no big deal. It becomes second nature. Was that the case for you?
Absolutely. And it's made me look at how the packaging that I'm buying. So if I am buying something that's produced, what's the packaging? Can it be recycled? Can it not be? Do I need that plastic? It's completely changed the way that we do things in our house and made us very, very aware of the waste that we produce. And it's been really great. Our rule is to try to get to zero waste. We're not always there.
Oh, wow.
But
yeah.
We've been trying to get to a zero waste kitchen, and it's been a really great journey.
Well, Katie, thank you for sharing that, and certainly so many different show ideas there as we collect future show ideas from you this hour, and also rewinding on some of this year's memorable conversations. Have you had driveway moments with the morning show when you couldn't stop listening? What programs stand out? What discussions deserve more time and attention? Still time to talk on this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. We're back with more conversation about the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This hour, we're hearing from you. It's caller only. And thanks to our producers, we have hundreds of guests each year who bring their knowledge and experience to share with Wisconsin and beyond. And we want to know, what do you want to hear from? Who do you want to hear from? What are your ideas for future segments? What do you think should be getting more attention? What do you want people to know during the pandemic? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Beth is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Beth. What is on your mind?
Good morning. I would like to hear a conversation about uncontrolled population growth and its effect on resources, which there are not enough anymore for all people. So I think it's a conversation that we have to have.
All right. Uncontrolled population growth and the impact to the world. Beth, thank you for that.
Yep.
Paul now in La Crosse. Paul, go ahead.
Hi. I would like to see more of like ethics and ethical practices in corporations and like transparency and like how they run their companies and not like like anti-monopoly laws, like the Sherman antitrust law in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see how the companies are running their, like, they're not owned by, not one company owns everything. Like, just, if that makes sense.
That does, Paul. So looking certainly at corporate ethics, what it means to be a corporate good citizen, and what it means to be a conglomerate and breaking up larger companies, perhaps. Paul, thank you for that. Greg in Appleton is with us. Greg, what is on your mind?
Hi. So I am a small business owner, and I'm calling because I'm also a socialist. I know a lot of people think that's a contradiction, but one thing in American culture and the language, the word socialism is all about government control, when in truth it's about employee ownership. And I'd love to hear or have a guest on from something like the Democratic Socialists of America or somebody from an actual socialist organization to discuss their term, that ideology, to help make a distinction between how the term is used in common American parlance versus what actual socialists think of.
I think I got the it there. And socialism also has a very deep history in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Greg, thank you for the suggestion there. And checking our emails now, Kathy from Dodgeville emailed. Kathy wants to hear more about energy issues and mentioned community debates over the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line, plans to build a large number of wind turbines and large-scale solar projects. Kathy would also like to hear from supporters and opponents, all sides on that issue. You can join in. Email ideas at WPR.org. Carrie shared over email that they're fascinated by plants that grow in the yard and can help as medicine, medicinal characteristics. Carrie says the plantain plant that can be eaten in a salad and can help heal the stings from bees and other insects. Carrie says yarrow plant leaves are antibacterial and will help stop bleeding and heal a cut. So certainly a conversation there on the medicinal uses of plants. Owen now in Waiawiga. Hi, Owen. What would you like to add?
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. So as a young farmer here in Wisconsin, I'm finding, and I'm actually a member of the National Young Farmers Coalition as well.
Mm-hmm.
And people can look that up online if they're interested. But one of my biggest concerns and the biggest threat to my ability to continue to be an agricultural entrepreneur in Wisconsin is of access and availability to farmland, either to rent or to purchase, because especially now we're seeing some really high commodity prices because the exports have picked up, and we're doing a good job of feeding the world, but we're cutting the ability for beginners or first generation farmers to continue to be able to cash flow because the commodity prices have increased so much. So if we don't have access to farmland so we can grow the groceries and use the land for pasture or other aspects of the industry that we need to continue to work in a manner that's going to give us a profitable balance sheet, we can't continue to operate.
Be sustainable. Yeah. Yeah, certainly the financial resources of younger farmers and how to get started, where to get that capital, how to get a foot in the door to farming. Owen, thank you for that suggestion. As we go through this caller only hour, so many ideas out there. Maybe you have questions that you want to explore, experiences that you have had you wish to share with fellow Wisconsinites. What should we be covering this summer? What topics and issues matter the most to you? What do you appreciate? Is it farming? Is it ideas about energy and carbon-free conversations? Maybe it is medicine and your health. Join in, your ideas front and center, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. In our last caller-only hour. Scott, David, Mark, and others asked about a series on climate change. We don't have a series named like that per se, but we do have ongoing conversations about the climate. Last week, we spent the hour with Yale University researcher Judith Rosentreter, who talked about rising methane emissions.
You know, methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas, and we say that it's, you know, the greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. They're warming the atmosphere, and the potential of methane is 35 to 86 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. And furthermore, you have the lifetime of methane. So the time that is it's persistent in our atmosphere is much shorter than carbon dioxide. So any sort of emissions and reductions are very effective of methane. And, you know, we've been talking a lot of CO2, obviously the most pressing question, but methane has a strong increase in our atmosphere since the industrial era. And we have to definitely reduce emissions.
That's Judith Rosentreter there from Yale. Jill from Wanakee just sent us an email. Jill would like a program about the dangers of residential pesticide use. And Jill worries many residents have been led to believe this practice is safe, and slick advertising and money to lawmakers. Jill, we can explore that as well as we look through all these ideas and figure out a roadmap for future programs. You know, on Fridays in April, we invited UW-Whitewater film lecturer Anna Thompson-Hodgick to discuss each of this year's nominees for Best Picture. Here's Anna on what became the Oscar winner, Nomadland.
It's a window into low-wage work. Mm. And the fact that, you know, it's really hard to make a living doing these kinds of jobs that are so difficult. You know, the kinds of jobs, you know, really there that so many of us have no appetite for, you know, cleaning bathrooms at truck stops, for example. And, you know, shows too, just how challenging these warehouse jobs can be, and how physically demanding they are. At one point, she's working at a sugar beet processing factory and, you know, shoveling in these sugar beets. It's just really intensively labor intensive, and it's a very you know, the kinds, again, it's the kind of is so we obviously learned a lot more about this past year, but it's still work that is invisible to so many of us.
And kudos to Anna for correctly predicting the Best Picture Oscar. It really seems fitting for the fabulous, accomplished guest that we talk with. We also heard from Gwenny from Stevens Point emailed. Gwenny wants to heal unhealthy political division and hopes to hear where our representatives are finding common ground. State and federal level wonders which of our representatives have the best track record for working across the aisle. Well, thank you for working with us this hour. Thank you for the loads of suggestions, all the show ideas for the morning show, and keeping us going strong. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.